$3.4 million, taking another $3.4 million hit in the fiscal year that just got underway. You're asking, I guess, all divisions to roll back their budgets by 2%. Is that correct?
Right. We have asked each vice president to work with the individuals in their division to hold back at least 2% for the upcoming year because of the 6.14% reduction in our state appropriation budget, which is, comes to about $3.4 million for us as a university totally.
Are there concerns that it might be cut, the budget might be cut even further during the course of the fiscal year? Are you looking at that possibility?
Well, that hasn't happened in the past couple of years, so we are hopeful that it will not happen for the upcoming year. However, we are always planning and trying to look ahead so that if we do have these kinds of reductions, that we come up with what if scenarios and how we would handle those kinds of situations. But we're very hopeful that we don't have any other reductions. That 6.14% is a big reduction for us, and it's a major challenge for us. We've already, as you know, have had challenges for the past 4 or 5 years, and we take pride in keeping education affordable for our students, and we have that cost guarantee program, and we're very proud of that. And we're proud even when we have to increase, do an overall increase, which is about 4.5% totally for this institution. We try to keep it at a minimum for our students when we do have increases. But our goal is to try to make sure that we don't put these increases because of the shortfall. We try not to put it on the backs of our students.
So where might cuts be made? The university has been cutting for several years now. Due to the shortfall of state funding, where might cuts come from?
Well, as I mentioned, we have the increase, overall increase, and some of it would come from there, and we would try to make the cuts in areas where we have retirements or positions that are available that are vacant. And we try not to fill some of those positions, but it's very critical. These are very critical times for us now, and we want to make sure that we maintain the quality of our academic programs as well as the quality of what we do here at the institution. As I told the legislators, we're still educating students. We're still graduating students. We want them to come here to get a quality and well-rounded education because they have to go out into the job market or into graduate and professional schools, and we want to produce the best student that we can. So we're going to find ways to offset this cost across the board, but we want to make sure that we shield the academic enterprise.
But what's left to cut at this point?
Well, there's very little. To be quite frank with you, there's very little to cut. And we find ourselves dipping into our reserves. But there's very little to cut.
How much in reserves does Western have? I mean, in terms of months or years that could carry you through until the state gets things straightened out?
Well, we received $6.3 million of what the state owed us. They now currently owe us about $13 million, as compared to that $19 million that we had. We could see ourselves moving forward throughout the summer, and we're waiting on what we receive from tuition, room and board, and fees, and those kinds of things, plus the additional increase. We would utilize that as we have done before, but we have to cut in certain areas, and that's the reason we're asking the vice presidents to come up with 2% from their total budget across the board.
Could that be personnel, or are you still trying to avoid personnel cuts?
Well, our goal is to make sure that we have no layoffs and no furloughs. We want to make sure that we maintain the faculty and staff that we do have. And in addition to that, with the with the retirements, we want to make sure that we go out and we have enough funds to recruit quality faculty and staff. But as I mentioned, with those positions that we have that are vacant, we will review those. I've asked each vice president to review those positions to see whether or not we can hold on some of those positions until times get a little better.
Do you know a comparison between how many new hires there are versus the number of retirements we've had, at the end of the last fiscal year? Is that about the same number, or are you hiring more than retired, or hiring fewer than retired? Do you know?
Well, we've hired fewer than retired. This year, because of the uncertainty of the pension reform, we've had retirements doubled as compared to what we've had in the past few years. So those positions are going to be vacant as well, and we have filled a lot of the positions, but at the same time, we still have vacancies.
And those will remain vacant?
Well, as I mentioned, I will look to the vice presidents in each area, the vice presidents in each area to come up with some solution after having dialogue with the staff and faculty in those various divisions.
Are you having to continue to defer maintenance at Western?
We have. We put some funding into deferred maintenance, but at the same time, it's overwhelming. We are way behind, and that's still a major challenge for us as well. In my testimonies before the legislators, I'll mention those kinds of things and our priorities for the university. We still have to enhance the facilities here, and deferred maintenance is a major challenge for us.
How long can you continue down that path before it becomes a safety concern?
Well, we try to monitor those areas of facilities that are safety hazards. For example, when we look at Thompson Hall, where we have the $20 million renovation, this is a must for us now. And so what we've done, when we see that there is a safety issue, as we did with Thompson Hall, we took that residence hall offline, and we have the $20 million renovation going on at this point. But we know that others are going to need renovations or deferred maintenance in the near future. So we just take it case by case right now.
Regarding the $13 million that the state still owes you for last fiscal year, how are you getting by without that money? Are you deferring payments to vendors, or what is Western doing?
Well, we have deferred payments to vendors, but when they come due, we may ask for an extension from time to time, and it's granted. But at the same time, we have held back over this past year on spending. Anything that's over $500 has to be actually approved by the respective vice president in that particular area, in that particular division. So we've been doing that. We've been practicing very safe and sound fiscal management for the past few years, and we will continue to do that so that we will be able to address these kinds of challenges that occur.
Have you received an indication of when that $13 million might finally come in?
No. As for the past 5 years, we've had a challenge in hoping that the state will release those funds. We have what we call a cash flow problem because they don't release the funds in a timely manner, and they don't really let us know when those funds are going to be released. But we're a little better off this year than we were last year. Right now we just owed $13 million. I think last year was somewhere around 20 something million, and as they did last year, they have extended the lapse period to December 31st. So between now and December 31st, we're hopeful to get the $13 million.
You did eventually get the money you were owed for fiscal year 11 and previous fiscal years, I guess. You were never ultimately shortchanged by the state. It was just late payments.
Absolutely. We always get it. Since I've been here, we've always gotten it, and I hope we continue to get it that way. But, well, hopefully we can do better and get it all up front. But that's how it's been in the past. And it makes things very difficult and very challenging for us in terms of planning and moving ahead with our goals and our vision for the university. So some of those things are on hold.
Yeah, what the fact that the state funding is being cut and it's late coming in, how does that impact the operation? What does that prevent you from doing that you would like to see accomplished at Western?
Well, we like to see the I put some goals out last year on the web in terms of the goals and vision for the institution for the next 5 to 10 years. Some of those things, such as a new welcome center, new academic programs, PhD programs, as well as enhancing various areas in academics, as well as like you mentioned, in terms of deferred maintenance, other facilities and plans that we have for the campus, some of those things are on hold because of that. There are a number of things that we do have to, as we say, bite the bullet and move forward, because an institution cannot stand still during these very challenging times. We have to be a cutting-edge kind of institution, an institution that is competitive. So there are certain things that we do have to prioritize, and we just have to do. But it's a challenge.
Are you having to limit the number of students that you can enroll?
No, we haven't limited the number of students that we can enroll. We actually are trying to increase and grow. But as we work with the consulting firm Noah Levis, which is an enrollment management consulting firm, they have pointed out to us about the demographics here in terms of the decline in the number of students that are available across the state. So that's going to be a major challenge, not just for Western Illinois University, but for all institutions in the state. More students now, as we look at the reason why students do not come, many of them are choosing to go to community colleges near home, and because of the cost as well, and many of them stay home. So in terms of the demographics of students across the state, it's going to be tough for us as an institution to get our fair share. But we have enhanced the recruitment efforts here. We've broadened our territory in terms of recruitment. As you know, we have a new vice president for student services, Garrett Biller. He's just completing his first year, and he's done a fantastic job. And Andy Boris is our new director of admissions, and he's working with the recruiters and other constituencies across the campus. And we've created a new scholarship program called the Western Commitment Scholarship Program, just so that we can enhance and so that we can get more high-achieving students here at Western. But at the same time, we don't want to diminish or lose our focus in terms of our mission here at Western Illinois University. We pride ourselves on being providing access and that we are affordable.
Are there fewer scholarships and grants available to students, and is that part of the challenge of recruiting students?
That's part of it, but we have increased what we do. We have given out a number of scholarships in the past, but what we've done is to create a central scholarship plan where we have more scholarships. We're bringing them all together, and we're making a concerted effort to go out and recruit students. We're recruiting students like we recruit athletes in terms of the best and brightest students.
All right. Is there anything you want to add or a particular point you want to make sure people understand regarding Western's financial situation and the cash flow situation with the state?
Well, these are very challenging times for Western, as they've been for the past 5 years. We thought we were coming out of what we call this recession, but we think we're going to have to deal with this for a couple of more years. But at the same time, we are practicing very sound fiscal management, And also, I want the public to know that we are an institution that continues to grow and that we are moving to the next level. We cannot afford to stand still during these very difficult, budgetary, challenging times. We want to continue to be an institution that is competitive, an institution that is affordable, and that we are an institution that provides access. And this is a place where students can come to get a quality and well-rounded education and be able to compete with anybody in the world. We are excited, although these are very challenging times, these are exciting times because we are able to do some more creative kinds of things, and we're reviewing the total university to see basically what we need to do in terms of maybe consolidating or things that we can improve on. So although it's a very challenging time, it's a very exciting time for us as well.
What sort of consolidations might you be looking at?
Well, in the past, we have consolidated some departments, academic departments, for example, in the College of Business and Technology. We look in the College of Education. They have consolidated a couple of departments, and they're looking at some others. And then looking at programs across the campus, we moved the scholarship office from one division to another so that they could work better with the financial aid office. We also moved the technology from one area to UTech rather from one area to the academic component. And then we moved UTV to one area for better programming and better telling, being able to tell the Western Illinois University story. So those are some of the things that we've done. And my leadership team and I are looking at other areas across the board. So this is a time to do some creative kinds of things here at Western.
What would you say the pros and cons are of consolidating departments?
Well, in some of them, these consolidations are needed, and we don't do this without working with the various individuals in the various areas. I think the pros are that some of them are needed, and it will help us save some money in the long run. So those are the pros, and I don't see any cons. I just see that when we do make these decisions, we're making the decisions based on best practices across the nation. And those decisions are not based on personnel, but on best practices. And it's only going to enhance Western Illinois University.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. I certainly do appreciate it.